We've been looking through chapter 2, toward the end of the chapter, and we actually took a break from it last week because it was our anniversary service, but as I got into the text this morning and just beginning reading it this past week here in the last part of chapter 2, I realized that we really didn't get off topic. Matter of fact, you know, we even pulled some of the verses here last week. It was as we were talking about the body of Christ and the building fitly joined together, and we talked about the materials that we were using, and to use quality materials, things that would endure the test. And so when I came to the end of this chapter 2 this week, I said, well, okay, we're still right where we want to be, and so I want to go back to chapter 2, and we'll finish this out this morning, and picking it up with verse number 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation, and this is the verse we pulled from last week, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So just as we were last week there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we were looking at that analogy, I guess, or metaphor, however you want to call it, of the building, we're back there again this morning. We're talking about the building of God. And as we spoke of last week, we're not talking about these walls, these four walls here, but we're talking about the temple where God dwells. Amen? Where is that this morning? The church is what? People. Amen? The church is people. It's not a foundation of sorts in the sense that what we're setting on here this morning, but it is the people of God. And so when we think about, we started this study here in Ephesians, first considering what we were, and then considering how that God stepped into our life. And so this morning, we're going to get into the now, therefore. So you remember how we looked at it from really three states of the recipients of this letter, and also for us here this morning, was first and foremost our formal condition, as Paul reminded the saints there to remember where God had brought them from. There in verse number 11, remember therefore, remember that. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, according in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. So he's telling them to remember their first life. Now, we went back to the first part of this chapter and talked about how that we were quickened. He said, you that were dead in your trespasses and sins. I mean, that was before we came to know the Lord, we were dead. Amen? Remember, in the day that you eat, therefore, you shall surely die. Separated from the presence of God. Not able to have that fellowship with the Creator that Adam first enjoyed there before he took of that fruit. But he was dead in his trespasses and sins. As Paul is saying here, that these men, not physically dead, but they were dead spiritually. It's really, think about what Jesus said when he was calling his disciples there in the Gospels, and he called them to come follow him, and there was many of them that began to make excuses, right? And one of them said, well, let me go bury my father. And what did Jesus say? He said, let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. Now, that sounds cold this morning, but he wasn't talking about dead people burying dead people. There was a corpse there, but they weren't the ones that were doing the burying. It was those that had that spiritual death, and that's where we were. Before Christ, before Jesus Christ stepped into our life, he said, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. So the opposite of being in Christ that we looked at last time was being in our trespasses and sins. So how many knows this morning the only way to be outside of our sins is to be in Christ? Amen. The only deliverance we can have from our trespasses and sins is to be in Christ Jesus. And so that was the second part that we looked at, that number two was the reconciliation of Christ. But now in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, I'm thankful to be in Christ this morning. There's no other way. You know that, I know that. We preach that. We stand for that. There is no other way unto life except being in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The scripture gives us no other path, gives us no other way. Matter of fact, Jesus goes so far to say, if you come up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. We must come through the door, and Christ Jesus is that door. And so that was the second part of that. But now, in Christ Jesus. I'm reading from John 5 and 21. Listen to these words. I'll tell you what you can do. Hold your place there in Ephesians and turn here with me. Because there is so much gospel dynamite here in John chapter number 5. And if you'll follow along with me, I'm going to pick up with verse number 21 there of John 5. Where he says this, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent them." Him. How many knows you can't have the Father without the Son? You can't say, well, I'll take the Father, but leave this Jesus alone. There is no other way. You must honor the Son, he says here. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And listen what Jesus says. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Amen. "You hath he quickened." How did he quicken you? Well, you heard the word of God. Amen. He says, "If he that hath heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Amen. Is passed. Not waiting somewhere down the road somewhere. We've passed from death unto life. We go on from there. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming." Amen. Can't you wait till that day? Oh, wait a minute. What's the text say? "And now is." Amen. Christ Jesus was declaring that resurrecting life had come. Amen. It was not something he was going to say on down the road somewhere. Amen. "You're in your trespasses and you're in your sins. There'll come a day on resurrection morn," hallelujah, "you'll be able to walk in the newness of life. Now, he says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Amen. See, these words were spoken over 2,000 years ago, right? "The hour is coming," Jesus says, "and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son," I told you this was a mouthful, "so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." So not only this morning when we're talking about Jesus, are we talking about the Son of God, but here as he finishes up this text here in John 5, he says he's given him power or given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. And so then we're talking about the incarnation, right? We're talking about when God became flesh and dwelt among us. The scripture teaches us that he was tempted in like manner as we are, yet without sin. And so often we think about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and as well we should. But as we're entering in this in November, you've already done this. Maybe you've already gotten out the Christmas lights, right? You don't have to raise your hand this morning. I've wanted to, but Shell shot me down. And so she hasn't even given me a date yet when I can do it. But I'm waiting because I'm ready for it. And we're about to enter into that season where we begin as the world, really, everybody begins to recognize. We celebrate it all the time. But when we think about the incarnation and how that God became man and dwelt among us, well, here in John 5, He says he's given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So we not only consider the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we also look at his life. That he was truly tempted in every manner like as we are, yet without sin, right? Amen? He was perfect. We've got to see the righteousness of Christ that is transferred to us, that righteousness achieved by his living out for some 30-some years, right? Living under the law, perfect, without sin, tempted yet without sin. Spotless lamb. We think about his life. Jesus lived a life of obedience. We could go so far as to say, for his death to have meaning, he had to live that life of obedience, perfect obedience, right? He had to be that spotless lamb. Man, that there was no sin found in him. Don't buy into the people that began to try to tear down who Christ was and what his life meant. He had to live that perfect life, if you will, So really, not only did he die for us, he lived for us. Man, his life, his perfect life, his sinless life. He's our Savior this morning, not merely because he died, but because he lived. Man, and so when we look at his life this morning, we look at that sinless life before he died, as only the Son of God could do. And because of that life, authority has been given to him to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So really the point of the gospel is that the minute a person embraces Jesus Christ, all that Christ has done is applied to us. We are clothed in his righteousness. Think about that this morning. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. We've put off the old and we've put on the new. Amen. We've put on the new. As Corder was talking about that peacefulness this morning. And he's right. How can we demonstrate the peace of God? I mean, how can we walk in peace and be the children of God? Amen. We can be the children of God because of the new birth that we've had in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we're not up here this morning saying, here's this list of rules. Good luck and follow it the best you can. Amen. And if you just do good enough, we'll let you get in. And God will let you get in. Amen. No, we're resting what Christ has done for us. And we're resting in the work of Jesus and the righteousness that we've been clothed with. I am just by virtue of the imputation of Christ's righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness that makes me just. Amen. That's where we were, now where we are. We're walking in this newness of life. And so here, back in John, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. How many knows the world has a course? Amen? The world has a system. There's a system out there. And before we come to know God, we're walking in that system. The customs of our society, we walk in those. But when we're clothed with his righteousness, as we're looking at this morning, we've got a new citizenship. Yeah. And it takes priority over every other citizenship we may have. Amen. I'm a Christian before I'm an American. I'm a child of God before I'm a child of Frankie Grimsley. My dad, in case you didn't pick up on that. But my point being is that it takes first place in our life. Amen? And that as we're declaring the gospel to the world, we're not declaring an American gospel. We're declaring the gospel to all peoples, all nations, right? He says, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the children, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I'm not trying to re-preach the first top part of this message, but we looked at all that and how that he begins to talk about what you were, but God. I love that. Ain't that the way he put it? Was it Colossians? We read there. But God. You walk this way. You live this way. But God. Man, but God stepped in. God did a work in our life. And now that, because now in Christ Jesus, look what he says there. He says, you were without Christ. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And there we got into that discussion of the Jew and the Gentile and how that he's making from both one new man, right? And so there's no salvation for the Jewish race and another salvation for the Gentile race. He's creating one new man, one building. Built upon the foundation, apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And here it is, it goes along with what Derek was telling us, but by grace ye are saved. Isn't that great to know? Saved by the grace of God. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our salvation hangs entirely on these words. But God. Amen. We were dead, but God. We were enslaved to sin, but God. We were trapped, but God. We were in self-destruct mode, but God. I mean, God has stepped in. We were lost in our sins, but God. So Paul, as he often does, always started with man's lost condition and moves into what? Into the now, therefore. Amen. You want to help me preach this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, now, therefore. That's part three. Now, therefore. What now? We're looking at our old lifestyle. We remember what we were. There was a change that took place in our life. There was where God stepped in. God demonstrated his mercy, right? Maybe your conversion, it might not have been as dramatic as the Apostle Paul's that we studied on Wednesday nights when, you know, he saw the great light and he fell to the earth. He heard the voice from God. Maybe it was. I don't know. You can share that at some point. But I just think about my life and the time that God spoke to me. And it's like you knew when it was all over with that there was something that happened. That there was a change that took place. Before then, you know, it may be hard to explain, but I knew there was a then, and I knew there was something that happened, and then I knew there was a now. Therefore, amen. I mean, I kind of got my birth date. We probably got that, don't we? Right, I mean, I've got my natural birth date. I celebrate that August 26th. But then I've got this thing that took place in July, around July 17th of 1988, when I made that trip down here to Prospect, and I began to hear the gospel again, and God spoke to my heart. And that I can remember that whole week after that. It's like you just couldn't rest. It was God was just on my heels. Surely goodness and mercy was following me, right? And God was saying, turn to me, follow me. And so that was my experience. I knew that there was something that took place. I knew that God had stepped in. And then I knew that there was a now therefore. And so what is it? Now therefore, and he starts off with the negative. He says, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're a fellow citizens with the saints. You've got a new citizenship. Man, we're converted when we understand the end time past, the but now, and the now therefore. We know something is taking place in our life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Santa was talking about that love of God. Amen. That truly, without God, there, you know, even the goodness that the world does experience, that an unbeliever does experience, is simply from the goodness of God. Amen? And that even the fact that he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust alike. We, For years we used that as a negative thing. Oh, something bad happens. Oh, it rains on the just and the unjust. That's really not how that text is used. It's used with God blessing those that don't even thank him for the rain. Amen. But we do, don't we? We thank God. And because we understand that it comes from him. So when Paul says here, he says, you were strangers and foreigners, but now you're citizens of the kingdom of God. You're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we've been given a new identity. We've been made part of a whole new community. Right? Now we're part of the body of Christ. And that word fellow citizens there, it speaks of a union. It speaks of completeness, of a fellowship. And so we belong to this new community with the people of God. We're citizens in God's kingdom. Before this, we were, if you will, men and women without a country, weren't we? But now, in Christ Jesus, we're fellow citizens with the saints. And this citizenship, as we said, is primary. Paul says in Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're in a new community where we've got a new citizenship, and this new citizenship, we're governed by the laws of this community. Right? We're governed by God's word. It takes priority. That's why Peter did say, when they were taken there in the book of Acts, I think around Acts chapter number 9 or 5, when we were studying there earlier, and they were taken by the leaders of the religious community, and they were commanded to speak no more in the word of God. And said, you know, you're bringing this man's blood upon us. And what was it that Peter said? He said, listen, we are to obey God rather than men. See, up to that point, his citizenship was purely that of being a Jew. His citizenship was that of listening to what the high priest may have said. But now, in this new citizenship in Christ Jesus, he said, listen, I've got to obey God even before I obey man. Now, you know, we obviously got to understand what the scripture teaches us with respect to the laws, be obedient to the law and so forth. We understand that. We take the whole book, right? But then we also understand this morning that when the laws of the land begin to contradict the laws of God, we must, as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, obey God's law. Amen. We cannot capitulate. We cannot surrender. We cannot take, as I heard one preacher says, I dwell in the soft middle. Amen. We can't dwell in the soft middle, right? The soft middle is uncomfortable. It's hard to live on the line, right? I can remember one time when I was a kid, an evangelist came through and he was preaching this story about during the Civil War. He talked about this soldier, and Jill probably remembers this, but he's talking about this soldier that, you know, he didn't want to be on the north, he didn't want to be on the south. He says, I'm just going to, you know, kind of dwell in the middle. And so he got gray pants and wore the gray pants, and then he got a blue shirt and he wore a blue shirt. And so he was just going around with his blue shirt on and his gray pants. But what he found out, he just started taking fire from both sides. I've never forgotten that story. And the whole point was this: you can't stay on the middle. I mean, you got to take a side. You got to choose. I mean, that same guy that talked about the middle is like, well, God doesn't draw lines, he draws circles. And I get it. I understand what you're saying there. But the fact is, either way, there's a line, whether it's a circular line or a straight line. I know enough to know there's an in and there's an out. But I'm not trying to be on my soapbox this morning, but I will say this. We must obey God first. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Our conversation. I mean, we ought to obey God rather than men. So we're part of a new citizenship. But let's bring it down a little bit tighter this morning. All right, because when we think about citizenship, if you've ever tried to travel, how many knows you got to have that little passport thing, right? Anybody got a passport, right? You got to have that thing. If you're going anywhere, it's got to be stamped. And to say, hey, this is a U.S. citizen. But that's not real personal. I mean, I've traveled outside the world, and I really appreciate that blue thing. You can get anywhere with that one. I mean, it was just like carte blanche, just go. Or it used to be. I guess it still is. But I like that. But you know what? In the family of God now. So we're beginning to narrow it down from this citizenship to, he says, you're also part of the household of God. So now we're getting more on a familiar territory, if you will. We're talking about family. One thing to have a passport. It's another thing to have a father. Amen. So now we're talking about a father. We've got a father. But not only do we have a father, but as we spoke of last week, we have a family. We have brothers and sisters. And truthfully, as I heard someone say just earlier in our service here, that, well, it was a song. It was a song that Corder was quoting from Jessica, that God cares what we care about. And I appreciate that. Amen. But, you know, more importantly, do I care about the things that God cares about? Amen. Because I want what I care for to be what God cares for. As David was described as being a man after God's own heart, it was the fact that what God cared about, David cared about. What was important to God was important to David. Amen. He talked about wanting to dwell in the house of the Lord more than any other thing. Because I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Amen. How important that is to think about this morning, that we are members of a household of the saints, God's people, made members of God's household. God has a house. God has a house. And this picture here of closeness, it's a picture of family. It's a domestic picture, if you will. It's relatives. Amen. Made up of all kind of peoples. So we're part of the family, but then now all of a sudden here where we get into our individuality, right? Can we bring that with us? Yeah, we can. Look at verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together. So we're part of a citizenship. We're part of a household. But then lastly, we're, if you will, stones in God's temple. You're an individual. I know you bring your mess with you, right? We get along pretty good here. I'm thankful for that. We're a small group, so it's not saying a whole lot, but you know, it's good that we're getting along. More, everybody always talk about, you know, having big churches, and I that's great, but I've always been told the more people, the more problems. It's probably true. But ultimately, God is working on us, isn't he? Man, God's taking you as a stone, and he's fitting you. He's chiseling off a little bit here, and he's taking off a little bit there, and he's setting you. Now, you can think about through your life, okay? I was listening to a song coming down the road Friday. And it said, it was an old song by Janet Paschal. It said, if I'd had my way. Anybody heard that? If I had my way, my road would have been easy. If I'd had my way, I don't know the exact words, but I'm not living it here. So if you go home and read it or hear the song, you'll be like, wow. I think what it says. It's close, okay? It says, if I'd had my way, I'd never had a battle. I would have never had a storm if I'd have had my way. But God, you had your way. You know why he did? Because he's chipping you. He's forming you and placing you in his wall. And you got to fit beside the ones that's beside you. Because when you first showed up, you can't build a wall like that, right? You got to fit it together. I remember when my brother-in-law came down to the house and built my fireplace for me, and I watched him, and he took those stones, and it just looked like a mess of stones to me. He just took them, and they're all laying out there, and I'm like, what is he going to do with these things? And he began to take them, and he put one here, and he'd take another one, he'd flip it over, and he'd put it there, and before too long, now I look back at it, and we take pictures in front of that thing every day, every year at Christmas. That's our background. Why? Because it is so beautiful to see all those stones in that wall put together, placed exactly where they need to be. And that's where you and I are in the body of Christ. And let me tell you this, it goes beyond these doors, right? It'd be a mighty little wall if this was on the building God was working on, wouldn't it? But you're a part of a great thing this morning. Amen. We may be a small part, but we're part of a great thing. And as God building his household, God building his temple, the dwelling place of God is his church, and his church is people. The people of God are the dwelling place of God. Amen. That he says, you're the temple of the living God. So in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you're builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I've got three things underlined right there in those two verses. The first one's in whom. The second one is in the Lord. The third one, the first part of verse 22, in whom. And it always goes back to the same thing. We must be in Christ. We must be in Christ. You can't be part of this wall if you're not in Christ. You can't be part of this building if you're not in Christ. But let me tell you this. If you come to Christ, there's going to be some chipping. Right? There's going to be... I was reading a book this past week. I think it was C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And if you follow me on Facebook, you've seen where I put up a quote by C.S. Lewis. And I was reading it, and he tells a story about, I think it was an author, Montgomery, that he listened to or read to quite a bit. You didn't listen back then, or at least not, you know, like we do with digital earphones in or whatever. But he talked about how that Montgomery tells the story of when he would have a toothache as a small kid. And he said, I knew that mom had the medicine for that toothache. And I knew if I went to her that she could give me that medicine and relieve the pain for my toothache. But he said I wouldn't go. And the reason I wouldn't go is because I knew mom would also, the very next day, take me to the dentist. And then he would begin to work on the whole mouth. And you know, sometimes that is the way it is with God. And that's why how I use this analogy. He says, you know, sometimes we'll say, God, you take care of this little problem, but you leave all this alone. You take care of this sin in my life, but don't mess with my pride. God, don't mess with my impatience. That's mine. That's just who I am. Don't mess with my short temper. Somehow or another, temper has become like a positive thing. People brag about it. You don't believe it? I know if you got your Facebook, go home and read it. They'll post it out there by the end of the week. You'll hear somebody say, I just say what's on my mind. It's just who I am. I just let it fly. Well, I was reading this week in the book of Proverbs, and you know what it told me? It told me that if you had a short temper, you're a fool. But God said that. Don't get mad at me. A fool. So these things that we're throwing out there as positive personality traits, God says if you're quick-tempered, you're a fool. Man. And then he talks about the wisdom that is from above is easy to be entreated. You know what godly wisdom demonstrates? It's that peace that Corder was talking about earlier. It's that peacefulness that God will work in our life. Why? Because we understand, if we come at it from this perspective this morning, who we were, remember, in time past, but God, amen, now therefore, we are who we are this morning as children of God simply by the grace and love of God. It's not anything you've done. It's nothing you did to deserve it.
It's just simply by God's grace and mercy that he saved us. By grace, he says, you're saved. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. But it is the gift of God. I'm closing with this morning, and I'm just going to read from Psalm 84. I'm reading it exactly how it's written, so if you want to turn there with me, listen to what the psalmist wrote. He says, Psalm 84, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it as a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our God, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blesses the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. And we know this morning, as we read those words, we're not talking about or thinking of, our mind is not going to some temple over there in the Middle East and where we can walk in and see the stones and all that. We're not talking, even this morning, we're not so much even talking about this building. That when we're talking about, although I'm thankful that, you know, when we come to God, when we are converted, we do have a desire to be with God's people, right? But when we're thinking about the temple of God, we're not even talking about that, are we? Amen. But we're talking about this citizenship, and we're thinking about this household, and we're thinking about how that we, as stones in God's wall, amen, and that we're saying, God, don't just take care of the tooth, but Lord, take me to the dentist. Amen. Lord, just take me and use me. Mold me. Potter, here's the clay. Mold me. So it may not be pleasant. He never told us it would be, did he? Never did say, come follow me, and it's everything's cool. Everything's smooth. Your bank account's going to be full. You're going to drive a new car. You're going to have perfect health. He didn't promise that, did he? That's what those people on the TV promise. But he said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And he said, Paul, Ananias, go tell Paul, go tell Saul at the time, go tell him what he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Amen. But you know what happened with Saul? Now we know as Paul, when he got down to the end of his days, he was not ashamed. Matter of fact, he said these words. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And not just for me, but for all those that look for his appearing. Amen. That love is appearing this morning. Are you one of those? Are you numbered in that today? Amen. I'm glad to be part of the household of God. I'm glad to be a citizen of his kingdom. And I'm glad to be a stone in his wall. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, we thank you for your promise. God, how great it is to know that we are in the family of God. God, and it's because this morning of your mercy, and it's because of your grace that we have been born into this family. God, we invite you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to mold us and to make us. Lord God, fit us into your wall. God, use us for your glory. God, if there's any wicked thing in me, Father, I pray that you would just cleanse it. Lord, just as the prophet said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. God, take your coals from the altar, place it upon my lips, Lord, and cleanse me. But if there's anything that does not please you, Father, it is my desire today, Lord, to please you with my whole life because of what you have done for me, because you've brought me from death unto life. I was a stranger, and you gave me citizenship. Lord, I was far from you, an alien, and you brought me into your house, and you've invited me to come and sit at your table, and you said, come and dine. Thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together as Cheryl leads us in.